Hello, everybody. I'm Mike. I am a senior art director on the Windows Next team. I'm joined by Claudio and Dom from our Movies and TV and Groove Music applications. And we're here to talk to you about how you can create emotionally relevant experiences using our new Fluent Design system. So you saw in the keynote how we are evolving the look of Windows, and here's a part of why we're doing it. If you take a look at the Creators Update, you can see that we're embracing creativity as a partner to productivity. And this is all inspired by a new generation of makers. Looking at our apps that we're shipping in our Creators Update, we have things like Paint 3D, which is now bringing tools that were normally just for professionals, for everyone. Things like our Story Remix app, which is really pushing on self-expression. Our Groove Music app, which we're going to get into in a bit, but we're really pushing towards curation and the taste of the people that use the app. And then finally, we're looking at how we're going to use our devices like pen in differentiated ways, like we're showing here with maps, and how to make that feel magical and great. So, but let's take a step back and talk about why we're doing these things. We want to make things beautiful, but there's always a reason why we do them. And here we're guided by three principles. First, we have a ton of devices and inputs that we're using every day. Our playground that we build in is rapidly expanding very quickly, and we really want a system that like aligns and adapts to all of those things. Two, you may have heard the term creativity is the new productivity. Microsoft's been known as a productivity application, or Windows has been known as a productivity application, and now we're really embracing creativity, and we'll show you why in a little bit. And third, all of this doesn't change what the fundamentals in design are. We still build with using visual hierarchy and clear affordances to make applications that are easy to use, and this system is going to support that in new, immersive, and delightful ways. So I was told to say that this is not to scale, so please forgive me, but if you look at things like leaps in tech over the last 30 plus years of building Windows, it's driven our design across the last, from MS-DOS to Windows 3.0 to Windows 10. And with that, we've seen brand new devices that allow us to interact with our digital content and inputs in which to interact with those devices. And where we sit today, you see there's a ton of stuff that we're using every day. There's lots of devices that we have, lots of ways for us to interact with our digital worlds, and we're looking for a system to build a system that's going to scale and adapt across this spectrum that you see here. So let's talk about creativity for a little bit. When we say creativity is the new productivity, we're saying this because of a couple of reasons. For one, technology is altering the way that we work. Things like globalization and automation have created an opportunity for things like creativity and problem solving to be a key skill set that's going to be sought after for a future generation of professionals. And also, we have things like spatial intelligence and ambient intelligence that's really helping us interact with people and places in new ways, which is bringing predictability to our productivity. And this is really important for us to build on. Second, creativity requires open-mindedness. So we talk about a growth mindset. Well, that requires us to see things differently. And this is one of my favorite parts, because not only does creative open-mindedness lead to more innovation, it also makes the world a better place by leading to the social good. And this is something that's really important to us as well. Immersion stimulates the brain. So you guys, hopefully you guys have tried a HoloLens. We've really, in the development of our HoloLens and mixed reality, we saw that it really helped prolong focus. And immersing yourself with digital content all around you starts to unlock creativity in new ways. And so we really want to be able to like take that magic that we saw in that space and move it across our entire spectrum. And finally, we're all creators. Creativity is not just for artists and designers and poets. It's for all of us. We all create in our daily lives. And so we want to make sure that we are creating the environmental stimuli for our customers that allows them to be their best creative selves. And those design fundamentals are universal. Things like affordances to have buttons be cleared where people can interact, visual hierarchy that guides the user's eye and makes apps easy to use, which will build app loyalty. All of these things are going to be enhanced with the Fluent Design system. So with Fluent Design, we're unlocking everyone's creativity by enabling rich, immersive, multidimensional experiences that adapt and respond to all of those devices and all those inputs that you're already carrying around and using in your day-to-day lives. And this is a system that's going to adapt. For example, like you build an app like Groove Music, and it'll scale from small devices like phones to desktop experiences, all the way to something like HoloLens. But specifically today, we're going to talk about how we're bringing Fluent Design to our desktop apps. And you'll hear Claudio and Dom talk about that specifically in terms of Groove Music. There we go. Fancy animations. So you've heard, potentially, people talk today about five elements of what Fluent Design is built on. And these are things that are relatable in our everyday lives. Things like materials, depth, light, motion, scale. This is what's guiding us visually with the Fluent Design system. And many of these styles and controls are fresh and ready to use today. And right now, we're going to show you how we've used Fluent Design in our Creators Update across all first-party Windows applications. So if it wasn't clear, that's all shipping code that we're putting right now into, I think, our insiders for the Creators Update. And I want to break down a few of the elements that you guys saw there and what we're implementing into our applications. The first is our first step on materials. We call this acrylic, and it allows you to either, A, you can use it as in-app acrylic as shown here in Maps, where you can see your content coming through an acrylic UI interface. We also have what we call desktop acrylic, and you'll see that in our Groove experience, where you can see the personality of the person's desktop coming through the application. What I really like about our use of acrylic is that we're adding a bit of a noise and a tactility that's really going to play well with our mixed reality experiences and hints towards more touchable materials as we build the Fluent Design system further. And second, we're introducing light with what we call our reveal highlight. And this is something that not only kind of adds a bit of delight, but it also gives additional affordances to interactive moments by kind of showcasing where the buttons are, as well as kind of adding a bit of accuracy by kind of showing you exactly where you're interacting with. We kind of learned some of this through our mixed reality gaze feature, and we wanted to bring that to the desktop and across the entire spectrum of Windows experiences. And when we talk about motion, while motion adds a lot of magic and beauty to an app, really motion is there to educate and guide the user. So we're bringing connected animations eventually to Fluent Design, where it's going to allow you to be able to guide the user's eye by creating clear compositions that lead you through the app, as shown here in our Story Remix, where you make a selection, it guides you right to the next part. It's fluid and natural. And lastly, we call this our conscious UI. And this is where we talk about scale by providing people exactly with what they need when they need it. And here you can see that we have headers that can scale, shrink, and grow depending on what the user needs, as shown here in Groove. And also we have conscious scroll bars that kind of allow the scroll bar to like grow and shrink depending on if you need it or if you don't. So it goes away when you don't need it, comes there when you do. And right now, we're going to show you how we're applying all of those elements, or a few of those elements, in Groove Music and Movies and TV. Please welcome Claudio and Dom from their teams.
Is it the top button?
Side one.
This one?
Left and right.
Left and right.
Hey.
How are you guys today? All right, so before I start, I would like to know how many of you are using Groove Music right now. We have one person, but he doesn't count. You guys don't count. Okay, so if you're not using it, you can go to the Remix Hub, and actually, if you do some of the demos that they have over there, they're amazing, you will get a 4-month pass, I think.
Remix Workshop.
Just follow that guy. All right. Great. So with that said, my name is Claudio Uglieri. I'm the design director of Groove and Movies and TV, and I'm here with Dominic.
Hi, I'm Dominic Hopton, engineering lead on Groove Music and Movies and TV.
All right. So both Groove and Movies and TV are two of the first Windows apps that got to experiment with Fluent Design. And, you know, we were part of the Windows app that got to use it. But importantly, we were, you know, part of the apps that kind of like got to think about how could we use Fluent Design to improve our user experience. So we want to walk you through our journey. We want to walk you through some of the challenges and some of the decisions that we made. And hopefully at the end of this presentation, you should have a better understanding of when to use it and how to use it in your own app. So maybe I should stand here. Yes. The first thing that we want to talk about is acrylic materials. Fluent Design, it brings this consistent look and feel to the whole ecosystem of devices, right? So it bridges the gap from MR and VR to our apps on desktop. And acrylic materials are a great example of that. Acrylic materials bring this sense of depth, this almost like spatial experience that is normal in MR to our apps. And you can see that in Groove right now. In this video, we're just moving the screen, and we're using acrylic materials in the left navigation. You see how the desktop shine through. So somehow, you know, your personality or whatever you have in there, like whatever you're working on, will be part of that visual experience. From a really, you know, more like a design side, and I didn't ask you about this, you guys, but how many designers do we have in the room? You don't count, Ken. all right, not many, but. Well, this is good. This is the purpose of this talk. So from a design perspective, what we're trying to do with acrylic design is to improve the visual hierarchy of the app. So we use acrylic in a really specific way only on the navigation, and we always show the content on top of an opaque background.
It's really easy to apply acrylic. The great thing is that it's just out of the box. There's a few simple name styles that enable you to apply it to the background of any element. This includes things like different amounts of transparency and different colors, including your accent color. It also takes account of things like high contrast and battery saver for you, so you don't need to worry about those situations. Additionally, as well as using those styles, it's also possible to use the raw acrylic brush, which is what we did at the bottom of the application with the MTC controls.
Yeah, so the second part where we wanted to use acrylic materials is what we call the MTC control, which is the bottom component of Groove where, you know, if you're using any music app, that's something that you get to interact with a lot. So if you want to skip the song, if you want to pause the music, if you want to increase the volume, this is where you end. We wanted to use acrylic in a way that will somehow enhance the user experience and, you know, feel more personal. So the first thing is we're using what we call in-app acrylic. That means that this whole component is only translucent to the content inside the app. And the second thing, in order to bring this personality, what we did was we pick up the dominant color from whatever the song that you're playing for the album artwork. And we use that dominant color to actually skin the whole component. And the purpose of that is, again, to express in a visual way the personality of the music that you listen to.
The easy thing about applying it to the bottom of the app is it's a simple brush that you just use in place. It gives you more control around the amount of tint, the colors, and the amount of blur. In our case, we chose to take the album art by reading either the file off the disk and calculating it dynamically, or in the case of our service content, it comes down directly with our service. And as you see here, as we transition between the tracks, it doesn't just go from red to blue to purple to orange. It actually plays an animation between those colors. That comes for free with the acrylic brush. The other thing to think about as you use the acrylic brush, as you overlay it with content here, is that this means you need to move some of the normal affordances in an application. Here, we've got the scroll bar. It's exactly where the customer would expect it to be, which is right above the MTC controls. Because of the way that we've layered this brush over the list view here, we had to go retemplate the list view to adjust the margins. It's also important in these situations to think about keyboard focus, which is something I'll talk about when we cover conscious UI in a little bit.
Right. So let's move on to the next item, reveal highlight. This is another great example of how Fluent Design is bridging this look and feel across the different devices in the ecosystem. Reveal highlight is actually an affordance that already existed in HoloLens. So if you use a HoloLens headset, or actually any VR or MR headset, whatever your head is pointing at, that's where the cursor is. And that's called gaze. And you can see an example right there. Fluent Design brings this whole concept to our app. And you can see we use it actually on top of acrylic on the left nap. And it creates this really nice, subtle like source of light that makes the cursor more prominent. The other thing that it's doing for us is actually, it is helping us declutter the interface a little bit. Because we don't need to show, we don't, you know, this is all touch. And you know, touchable targets have a minimum size of 48 pixels, at least on a square size. And normally you will have to show the affordance to indicate to the user that this is the touchable area. With Review Highlight, you don't need to do that because they only show up when they become contextually relevant. So from a design perspective, it was actually something that we really appreciated. We also apply Review Highlight to the movies and TV experience, to the now playing experience. So when you play in a video, a movie, you know, personal video, something you bought in the store, what matters there is the content. We don't want to get in the way of the content. We want to be as innocuous and transparent as possible. So we're actually using Review Highlight to, again, try to not clutter the interface and only show these controls, as you can see, where they become relevant to your intent.
Reveal itself is actually made up of a number of different components. There's a border around the button, there's the background in the button, and then there's also the fact that the pointer is moving around and projecting that light source. This makes it look like it would be pretty complicated to implement in your application. With the stuff that's in the platform, it's really easy to apply a simple style on any button in your application, and you'll get that effect, including across the multiple buttons, even though the mouse might not be over them. You can do this using the button reveal style, and it just works. One thing to remember, though, is that even though it's really easy to apply, you might not want to apply this onto every button in your application. Otherwise, it will be crazy.
Just like Satya was mentioning this yesterday, and one of my favorite movies, Spider-Man, also said it. You know, with a great power comes a great responsibility. This is a similar example. Like, it looks amazing, but if you overuse it, if you don't, you need to make sure you use this effect only to drag the attention where it matters. And just like in design, if you want to drag attention to a word, you will make it bold. If you make the whole text bold, suddenly it loses its purpose. So all right, let's move on. The next item that we apply in Groove and movies and TV is what we call conscious UI. The notion of conscious UI is actually this. It's about creating interfaces that predict your interactions and build trust. We decided to apply this concept to what we call our detail pages. If you use, in the future, as soon as you start using Groove, movies and TV that I'm sure you use already, whenever you want to go to a playlist, or whenever you want to go to an album or a profile of an artist, or if you purchase a movie in the store and you want to learn more about the synopsis, the actors, whatever, that's what we call the detail page. In this page, we have two distinctive components. The first one is the header. And when you first land on these pages, the purpose of the header is to give you a quick glance of what you're looking at. Right, so you get a clear understanding of, all right, this is the name of the movie, this is the rating, this is what matters at first glance. Once you start scrolling down, your mindset has changed. At that point, you're into a browsing mode. At that point, we apply conscious UI to, instead of getting rid of that component, all of a sudden, make it morph to something that will become more relevant, something closer to a sticky header. To do that, we actually remove some of the information that wouldn't be relevant at that point, like the metadata, description, things like that. And we only leave what matters, and that is artwork for visual recognition, title, or the call to actions that will get you to interact with the content.
So when we worked with Claudio to go and implement this, one of the things that became clear really early on is that we had to not think in terms of the discrete items here, but in terms of layers, because those are the things that are moving. We ended up with 5 layers. First of all, we've got the list itself. This is just your plain old list view. Then in the header, we've got this the album art or the movie poster itself, which is blown up and blurred to provide a backdrop for the rest of the controls. We then put a wash in front of it to make sure that the text is always readable. And then finally, almost finally, we have the most important piece of content. This is the stuff that stays on screen all the time. This is the album art, the title, and the call to action. Our customers are almost always going to want to play their movie or download their movie, so you don't want those controls to disappear. And then finally, we have what I call the transition layer. Transition layer. Where'd it go?
You want me to go back?
you go far.
There you go.
Yeah. Which is the transient stuff, which is the album review, the more, and all that stuff. These are the things that disappear as you scroll. Thinking about these in terms of a layer was really the only way that we could make this work, because otherwise we had a number of different moving pieces, and it was really difficult for us to engineers to maintain that. The other thing that became clear as we worked with Claudio is he provided a lot of designs to us based on pixels. 75 pixels off, you should hide this. 85 pixels off, you should hide this. For the first iteration, this was really good. This worked fine. But then as Claudio changed the design and we made it better for the customer, we realized that that wasn't going to work because we had to change it every time. So we started to think in terms of ratios, how much of the header is off the screen, and then use those to trigger the rest of those animations. For us, we ended up building something in composition called a property set, and we use that and place the ratio in there on behalf of the developers who are using this. All of the composition expressions that we tied to that became much simpler at that point because they didn't have to think deeply about the number of pixels. It's also important when we build this experience that you have to think carefully about keyboard focus, because you've got content at the top and the bottom occluding the normal list. You need to make sure that the customer, as they arrow around or tab around, that focus rec stays in view and doesn't disappear underneath the top or the bottom. This is where we had to go and write a reasonable amount of custom code to make this experience really work. And it's something that we found ended up being the most complex part to implement. Beyond, like, the visual stuff was hard, but it made sense. The focus is very hard to get just right.
Right. Mike?
And back to Mike.
All right. Hey.
All right. It's going down.
All right. So walking away from this, again, I want you guys to think about these design principles, these initial tools and styles that you can use to enable your creativity in your applications and for your customers. You guys are our creators network. So please give us feedback and ask questions. We really want you to join us on this journey. We're not delivering everything today. This is going to be something that we do over the course of years, and you guys are a part of that. Go and download the latest SDK. You can also continue your education at Microsoft Virtual Academy Online. And lastly, we'll be available after this to answer any technical or design questions that you have. And thank you very much for coming. Thanks.